This is the Advice Show, and here's a word from our sponsors.
Today is VE Day. The war is
over. The newly crowned queen waves from the balcony.
Eagle has landed. Apollo 11 has
tearing
landed.
Down the Berlin Wall.
Since 1929, the Marx Investment Trust's mission has been to help investors grow their wealth. We aim to do this today by taking a three-dimensional approach to growth. Cyclical growth, rapid growth, and steady growth.
The World Wide Web.
Wall Street is in turmoil as stocks crash.
The Marx Investment Trust, managed by Bailey Gifford. Capital at risk.
Hello and welcome to the Advice Show from CityWire, where we dig into the ideas, insights, and industry shakeups driving the world of financial planning. My guest today is Dan Groats, CityWire's very own data editor and former NMA editor, Dan. Well, Dan, thanks for joining us and coming into the studio you're bringing your depth of expertise and data-driven insights. And today we're going to be talking about a thing called the PE leaderboard, which we do every year. Can you explain what the PE leaderboard is?
Yeah, so the private equity leaderboard is now in its fifth year. You started it in 2022. And what it does is takes all the financial advice businesses in the UK that are owned by private equity investors that we can find and shows how they're performing. So we look at how many advisors they have, how much they have in assets under advice, and how they're performing as businesses, their revenues, their profitability, that sort of thing. And because we're now in our fifth year of doing it, we've got data on a lot of these firms going back quite a while, and so we can see who's growing, who's shrinking or stalling, and analyze those trends.
Great, Dan. And the big caveat, disclaimer I'm going to put out here is that this year Dan has done it by himself, so it's far better in every form than the previous iterations, which I put together with some of my other colleagues.
Well, you were involved. You got some of the responses, and then got some of the responses. It wasn't just me.
But no, it should already be out there. So encourage everyone, please go on the NMA website. It's it should be on a banner at the top, and we'll make it sure it's prominent on the website. So please look for the PE leaderboard on the NMA website if you haven't already read it. But I would say that a lot of work goes into this, Dan, as I've known from previous years. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us how you got all the data?
Well, in terms of, it's a combination of speaking to the companies themselves and then sourcing information from elsewhere. So with the performance of the businesses, that's mostly sourced from Companies House. With advisor numbers, either that comes directly from the firms themselves, or if we can't get it from them, then we use the FCA register. And if there are a number of different sort of FCA registered entities for that company, then we'll kind of piece that together from there. So if we can get the data directly from the companies, that's always best, but we try to source it from elsewhere where we can't. And there are some, so we've got 49 firms on the leaderboard this year.
Up from 40 last year?
Yes, yeah. 29 when we kind of started doing it. And so 39 of those we've got business performance figures for. The other the other 10, they're basically too small produce kind of full accounts to Companies House. So we just don't have that data.
And so Dan, this year, what were some of the big kind of headline numbers you found?
Well, we found that now a fifth of financial advisors in the UK work for private equity backed firms. So advisor numbers are up to 7,706, that's of 37,441 advisors in the UK as a whole, according to the Financial Conduct Authority. So that's up a fair bit. It was 6,955 the previous year. Assets under advice have risen, as you'd expect as well. 484 billion run by these PE-backed firms, up from 396 in 2025. So generally, the trend is for PE ownership to be kind of increasing across the market, and for those PE firms to PE-owned firms to be getting bigger. And we've mentioned the the total number of firms. It's 49 this year, which is up from 40 last year. So
it's got 9 new entrants.
Yeah, yeah.
What were some of the big deals there?
Old Mill, accountancy firm Kimbrook,
yeah.
Which is owned by...
Former anime cover star.
Yes, firm. Yeah. Owned by private equity investor Blixt. They bought Old Mill. Another former cover star, Equilibrium, in Cheshire.
It's all going down. Yeah.
Bought by Sovereign Capital Partners, who yeah. used to own Shackleton.
Another former anime cover star.
Yeah. I think if there's a trend this year in terms of... the companies that are being added to the list, added to the leaderboard, it's more those kind of regional mid-sized firms that are now kind of coming under PE ownership.
So like Equilibrium's, yes. Old Mill.
Yeah, exactly.
And you think that's because the biggest firms have all been bought out?
Yeah, because the deals that we're seeing at that sort of big firm level now, it's not about private equity investors coming into the market. It's about... existing private equity owners selling either to other private equity investors. So Shackleton's an example of that, where you had Sovereign Capital Partners selling to Lee Equity. Yeah.
A story Vicky Bell in Citywide broke.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Or, you know, in terms of like the biggest deal, Evelyn being bought by NatWest.
Coming out of the PE market.
Well, exactly. Yeah. That's a private equity owner that's now being able to kind of sell it on to a trade buyer, you know, for a much higher fee than they paid to buy the business.
And I guess if we look at some of the numbers, Dan, I mean, I think it's, you know, we've been doing this for a while, and I think it's fair to say there is growth in the market, but it's not like vertiginous growth. We're not seeing huge kind of advisor numbers growth year on year or asset growth.
No, and it has slowed down from when we started doing the PE leaderboard, the rate of growth. And it's certainly not even, you know, we're seeing some firms growing very rapidly, others not so much. And, you know, sort of stalling in terms of assets under advice and advisor numbers.
Yeah, and let's talk about that, I guess. I mean, so if we look at some of the kind of really fast-growing firms on the list, Dan, because you're kind of using various different, very interesting charts to kind of explain this, but who are some of the really fast growers you've got coming through?
I mean, I think Titan Wealth really stands out this year.
Very acquisitive.
Yeah, so it's... You know, it's only been around for 5 years and it's already got to 44 billion. So
second biggest.
Yeah. Second to Evelyn, who are going to move out. You know, we've kept them in the leaderboard because, I mean, they are still owned.
The deal hasn't been completed yet.
They are still owned by private equity.
But I guess that means Titan will be the biggest in like 4 months' time.
Yeah. So
that's crazy. They've gone from nothing to being the biggest.
Yeah. And, you know, last year they overtook True Potential. You know, that has been... Yeah, pretty remarkable. And it's the product of, you know, they've spent 457 million, you know, from what we can tell so far, and that those are the deals that have been disclosed in its accounts. But, you know, spending a lot, being very acquisitive. And that's reflected in assets under advice growth. And it's reflected in, you know, the number of advisors that it's got. It's now got 261.
Yeah.
Matteoli Woods.
They bought Kingswood last year.
Yeah. So they've got the biggest. Year-on-year jump of 10 billion, so that's taken them to 25 billion in assets under advice. They merged with Kingswood, which is also owned by the same private equity owner, Pollen Street Capital. Soderbergh, so they're now on 20 billion in assets under advice.
Obviously, it's a slightly different model though, because they're taking minority stakes.
Yeah, so they don't, you know, they're not in full control of all that 20 billion, but the advisors that they have minority stakes in combined. Run around 20 billion.
And they're very, you know, they're fast growing business out of the list.
Yeah. And then True Potential are probably still worth a mention. So third biggest growers over 2 and 3 years.
They were the biggest business until Openwork overtook them, I think, last year.
In terms
year.
Of advisor numbers. Yeah. But you are, I mean, they grew over the past year, but that rate of growth is slowing and,
they're now 36 billion.
Yes, yeah. And you look at the, you know, the way that they built up assets and through the 8% deal, and that's, you know, now been withdrawn, and you kind of, you're sort of seeing that in the fact that growth isn't quite as fast as it used to be. So that's how you look at, I guess that's how you look at the market in terms of assets under advice. But you know, you can look at it in terms of advisors as well, and that sort of tells a similar story, but slightly different.
Yeah, so top advisors, I guess Openwork, you know, big network, got Bain Capital came in last year, followed by True Potential, and then Fairstone. I mean, Fairstone are an interesting one because they have grown quite quickly,
mm-hmm.
and they've expanded pretty steadily, I suppose. And they're probably more the traditional consolidated model in terms of buying up advice businesses. But they have now, they're now third for advisor numbers on the list.
Yeah, so they've overtaken in partnership. And I mean, there's a bit of a caveat within partnerships figures because...
They don't disclose anything.
No. So the 500 advisors figure that we have for them comes from their website. It's very difficult to establish what their advisor numbers are from the FCA register because they're a network.
And they don't file, or the company's house, they didn't disclose it, I don't think.
No. So, and that 500 figure has stayed the same the whole time that we've been doing the PE leaderboard, okay. But it has also stayed the same on their website. So,
yeah.
Soltis.
Another fast grower, actually.
Yeah, biggest jump this year. So 104 more advisors. So now 223.
Yeah.
Sorry, it jumped from 104 to 223. And that's after it bought Tavistock's financial advice business.
And they also bought Lowe's in Newcastle, which was an interesting deal, and we covered quite a lot as well.
Perspective, they are interesting. So 223 advisors, 58 more over the past year, 149 over the past three. And they're the only firm of all those on the leaderboard that have made acquisitions in double figures in each of the past 3 years. And they, you know, that's a trend that you can kind of, in work that I've done on the deals database, Perspective, they make a lot of small acquisitions.
Yes.
And they're very consistent. They just seem to be doing it, you know, every year. And that's reflected in the growth of their advisor numbers. Titan Wealth and Mattioli Woods, who we've highlighted in terms of their assets under advice growth, also growing their advisor numbers pretty strongly.
And then if we look at some of the overall business numbers, Dan, I mean, what are the kind of themes here? So, you know, I think in years gone by, we have seen lots of these firms being loss-making, certainly in profit before tax or loss before taxes. I think you've looked at operating profits, which is probably a good metric to look at, isn't it, here? Because it's actually how much the businesses are making.
Yeah, so the ideal metric would be EBITDA.
Yeah. But not everyone discloses this.
No, so EBITDA isn't a statutory kind of reporting metric in the UK. And so some of the, and usually like the larger consolidators would mention what their EBITDA figure is in the, maybe like in the preamble.
Sometimes they're quite like, kind of, you know, they like to disclose it quite heavily.
Yes. I mean, it's usually, it will be a better number than operating profits because it's before depreciation and amortization. And amortization is, very significant for consolidators because they're buying firms and they're buying client books all the time. And then that those assets are being amortized.
Yeah. And that is a paper loss, I guess, isn't it? You know, they're not losing money because of that.
Yeah. So EBITDA does give you the best picture as to this is how the sort of business is performing day to day.
Yeah.
But, you know, we want to be consistent in how we're comparing these companies, and we don't have EBITDA for all of them. So operating profits or EBIT is the best way that we've got kind of to look at how they're performing.
And you found that this went downwards last year then?
Well, it's
overall.
Yeah, sorry, the overall figure, but that is brought down by True Potential.
You've had a big exceptional, a big
yeah. So they made there's a sort of write down.
Oh, the depreciate the they had a write down, didn't they?
Yeah, so they sort of set aside this money for kind of redress related to the 8% scheme. Lots of exceptional costs, and so. True Potential had been delivering consistent sort of operating profits, but made a pretty big operating loss, had about 146 million. If True Potential hadn't reported that loss, then those figures would have been better.
I guess with all this, I mean, what we've done in previous years is just kind of looked at the movers and shakers, really. So the firms who are kind of growing fast, but we also look at the firms who are struggling a bit or have had kind of a bad year in terms of advisor numbers and things. And, Who stood out this year, Dan, in terms of the firms who were struggling to retain advisors or grow new ones?
Yeah, I mean, Progyny. So 24 advisors of, or that they're down sort of 24 advisors over the past 2 years. Assets under advice have sort of stayed at 9 billion.
Because they were super fast growing a few years ago. I mean, they were making so many acquisitions.
237 million they spent on acquisitions in their first 2 years under their... So they were owned by... they had previous kind of private equity owners, but that's got since further global capital got involved in the business.
Which is owned by Nicolas Sarkozy's brother.
Yes.
Or half-brother,
I think. So you had all that spending and then it just stopped. And that's kind of reflected in the figures.
Yeah.
And they say that that's a sort of deliberate shift from, you know, rapid growth and then kind of consolidating that, strengthening the business. But then you have had also some like attrition, some advisors just, you know, leaving or retiring or...
Argentus, you picked out as well, they lost 11 advisors.
Yep. And that's
attributed that to retirements?
Yeah, self-employed advisors retiring. And you have a similar story with assets under advice, that they've kind of just remained around the sort of 5 billion mark. And then you have Evelyn, 20 fewer advisors over the past 2 years. There are kind of some kind of extenuating circumstances there in that employee benefit consultants who were being counted towards that figure previously now aren't, because that business is in the process of being sold. And it's also the product of advisors retiring. So they have a retiring IFA program where advisors will sell their business to Evelyn and then stay on for 2 years
and then retire. So Dan, the business performance section, this is where you look at the profit and revenues of all the 49 businesses. Tell me about who's making the most operating profit out of the list.
So Canaccord Wealth, £31 million in operating profits to the end of March 2025. But I think what's interesting there is True Potential, had it not had the provision for redress and large exceptional costs in its sort of latest financial year, they would have delivered the highest profits. They had £145 million of operating profits in 2023. And so the businesses that are kind of topping the leaderboard for operating profits now kind of aren't really quite at that level. So you've got Canaccord, you've got AFH, £22.7 million over the 12 months to the end of October 2024. And then you have Amber River, £13.2 million in 2024.
Who've just been sold.
Yes, yeah. And that's its first ever, delivered its first ever pre-tax profit as well. But I mean, generally, just over half of the 39 are profitable on an operating profits basis. So that's broadly in line with what we had last year. And those that you'd highlight for their losses would be Progyny. Operating losses widened to £27.1 million in 2024, and that's up from £4.5 million in 2021. Titan Wealth, losses there, operating losses have widened to £18 million at the end of March 2024, compared to £511,000 the previous year. And so both of those businesses, Progyny was growing rapidly.
Making some big acquisitions.
Yeah. Titan Wealth is still growing rapidly. So, you know, those operating losses aren't necessarily a bad thing. You know, they are definitely in the kind of... Well, Titan Wealth certainly is still very much in its growth stage. And then with revenues, True Potential is really the standout. So it's, you know... adding revenues at quite a rate. So its revenues are up £209 million over 3 years. So it reached £499 million in 2024.
I mean, on the revenues, it's amazing this kind of spread you've got, because it just shows how, like, on the bottom end, you've got Superbia Group, who've just been bought last year, £6.1 million. Cooper Parry, £7.8 million. Although I guess that's the wealth division of their accountancy business. And then it goes right up to, you know, Openwork at £580 million, Evelyn £503.4 million, and True Potential just under £500 million. I mean, it's such a big range, isn't there?
Yeah, and it, I guess that goes back to the point around how the sort of PE-owned advice kind of sector is evolving, that you are now getting a lot more of those sort of smaller mid-sized firms that, you know, wouldn't have been under P ownership a few years back. Now more of those are kind of coming under that ownership sort of structure.
And you think that's because there's less kind of choice there for the PE guys to come into the market?
In terms of a fresh PE investment, yeah, because a lot of the consolidators are already owned by private equity owners. So yeah, that is why you're seeing that really kind of big spread in terms of size of business and you know, what they're delivering on revenues and profits.
But I mean, I guess it's like, if you look at a business like Shackleton, you know, what happened there was Sovereign came into Skerritz, who were, you know, former anime cover star, you know, I think had 500 million of assets or something quite small when they came in, and then suddenly they've got it to a point where now, obviously been sold to Lee Capital, Lee Equity.
I don't know if it's a unique case, but Shackleton isn't like others in the sense that, you know, where you had Skerritz being bought, Skerritz has sort of been bought and then turned into something that it just wasn't in the first place.
Yeah. Where it was like a vehicle they came in and used to.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas, you know, in other cases, you do get what's more prevalent is, you know, a consolidator that then comes under private equity ownership and then is doing the same thing, but at much greater scale than it was able to do previously.
Interesting, Dan. And I guess, obviously, you know, you spend a long time scrolling away, looking at the data, looking at all these firms, the 49 names and things. And I guess, what are some of the takeaways you've got from it? What are some of the things you think is kind of going on in the private equity advice market at the moment?
I think one of the things that I was expecting to see but didn't is there doesn't seem to be a clear sort of trajectory in terms of profits.
So you're expecting firms to be coming out of operating losses into operating profits? Or?
Yeah. And I guess, you know, maybe that's partly the function of the way that we kind of compile this every year. So, you know, we're not looking at a static group of firms. We're looking at any firm that's owned by private equity. And so you'll have kind of new firms coming in every year and they will be at different stages in their development. And so that maybe accounts for some of, you know, some of that, the fact that you aren't getting, you know, it's not like every year we're getting more and more firms moving into kind of profitability. Maybe there's more now than there were at the very beginning of this project.
Yeah, I guess you are seeing that in some, I mean, like Amber River, for example, they moved into an operating profit for the first time.
But I think, yeah, that was, you know, I saw that and thought, oh, maybe there's going to be lots of other businesses that are in the same position.
But that's not what you found.
Turns out there's not. But I guess with all of this, you know, I'm looking at accounts and I'm building a spreadsheet and I'm contacting businesses to find out some numbers. I'm not involved in covering these firms day to day. I mean, you are, or you edit a publication that does. I mean, what's your kind of sense as to sort of where kind of firms are at, where kind of P consolidators or at, or whether sort of the sector is at, and whether it's kind of changed over the past couple of years?
Well, that's a good question, Dan. I think we're kind of seeing similar stories come through in terms of, I think what's good about the PE leaderboard and the way you've done it this year as well, is in particular, is it shows you there's winners and losers. There's firms who are growing fast, who are making decent profits, who are attracting new advisors and are kind of on that growth trajectory that I guess the PE investors want them to be on. And there are losers. There are firms who are struggling that have maybe grown quickly and then have had issues or something's happened and their challenges of the business. So there are kind of winners and losers out of all this. And I think that's probably going to be a theme that we see more of in the next kind of few years in terms of the firms who did well. I mean, Evelyn, I guess, is sort of a good example of that in terms of someone who's been there, invested in for a long time from the PE backers, but now has sold to NatWest and has probably got a big, decent return on that investment. And I'm sure that we'll see some other big deals, you know, kind of this year, or just certainly private equity at the top end. But yeah, I think on the bottom end, on the other side of it, in terms of the people who are lower down the list on advisor growth and things, that we are seeing some firms struggle. And I think that's going to be an interesting story, how that plays out in terms of, you know, who buys them or what they do to kind of recover that strategy. I mean, I think the other big deal that happened last year was Titan Wealth buying IWP, which is a business we've covered for many years. And that was a rescue deal because it got into so many problems with debt and losses. And it was kind of a deal where Titan or someone like that needed to come in to buy it, because otherwise it could have been, you know, worse for the business and its clients. So yeah, I think the kind of winners and losers story is something that's going to continue and is continuing. I think there's quite a few firms on the list who are kind of just steady, the mid-sized firms. There's a lot, there's like a long tail to these firms. Mm-hmm. Firms between the kind of 1 billion to 5 billion mark. A lot of those firms have probably stayed around that level.
Yeah.
And I guess that's potentially a reflection of their PE backers who are maybe just happy with the revenue, the income stream they're getting. Mm-hmm. And they're not putting big money into the businesses, but they kind of see them as like, they've got sticky clients, you know, consistent revenues coming through, consistent, you know, some consistent operating profits as well. And then I guess, you know, in a few years time, we'll see a probably a sell onto another private equity firm. But there's lots of those firms like that. There's lots in that kind of five billion to 1 billion category. And I think the other thing we're hearing from a reporting side, I think, is that quite a few of those firms are now looking for sales, mainly because a lot of the deals we saw, and this is kind of predating when we first started doing this, is that a lot of these PE investments happened around 2020, 2019, 2021, start of COVID era. And obviously now we're like 5 years later. So, you know, we're going to see the next cycle kind of happening. So I think we'll see a lot of those kind of smaller sales this year, as well as obviously potentially some bigger deals.
And I think actually what's interesting about the NatWest deal for Evelyn is that then that brings in another sort of potential buyer, doesn't it, for those firms that are kind of that more mature sort of stage.
Yeah, it's something we have written about, you know, and I think that's going to, it's going to change the market in terms of, I think it's going to maybe make PE investors more keen to come into the space because they can see, you know, an exit opportunity there, mm-hmm. and potentially increase valuations, although they're kind of, you know, being going to be fluctuated by all kinds of things like the AI and everything else that kind of, that's probably possibly going to change things there. But certainly the NatWest deal is a huge deal for the sector. Mm. And I think a lot of the PE investors are talking about it and the price they paid and how that's going to impact other deals as well. So, yeah, I think that kind of brings us to the end of the piece. But I just want to say I really encourage everyone listening to go on the LMA website, look at for the PE leaderboard. It should be on a banner on the top of the site. We will display it prominently, so please check it out on the website and have a read of it, because it's a great piece.
Thank you.
And Dan, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me on.
And thanks for listening.
But today is VE Day. The war is
the
over.
The crown queen waves from the Belt.
Eagle has landed. Apollo 11 has landed.
Tearing down the Berlin Wall.
Since 1929, the Monks Investment Trust's mission has been to help investors grow their wealth. We aim to do this today by taking a three-dimensional approach to growth. Cyclical growth, rapid growth, and steady growth.
The World Wide Web.
Wall Street is in turmoil as stocks crash.
The Monks Investment Trust, managed by Baillie Gifford. Capital at risk.